This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. This week on the program, we turn to a niche sport in tower running, which, if you don't know, is exactly like it sounds, the sport of climbing stairs competitively in skyscrapers, and one that many Malaysians were unfamiliar with until Selayang-born So Wai Ching made waves, especially last year, taking home the crown in what's dubbed the World Cup of Tower Running, the 2021 Empire State Building Race, where Wai Ching scaled 86 stories in the New York mega structure with about 1,500 steps in exactly 10 minutes and 46 seconds. With that, he became the first ever Asian to come in champion, and also it was a feat that officially made him the second best tower runner in the world. Wai Ching is also the co-founder of the Tower Running Association of Malaysia, and he joins us on the program this week to talk about his excellent 2021 campaign.
My 2021, I would say adventure is the word to describe it. Like throughout the past 4 months from August until December, I was on an adventure mode. It's like when you are outside alone, being an independent athlete, and then many things are happening here and there, especially the pandemic situation from country to country are different. So that is one of the most major challenge that I face, because before you travel to another country for a race, you have to check the travel restriction, you have to check what are their SOPs that they enforce in the country. So many things you have to find out, and sometimes the race can cancel immediately, like 2 weeks before the race. So yeah, 2 weeks before, they will just update you, send you an email, or due to the pandemic situation getting worse, they're going to cancel the event. Mm. So then at that point of time, I have to make another decision to change to another race if there is nearby. So I'm trying to compete as much as possible throughout the 4 months when I was overseas, trying to bring as much glory to Malaysia. I mean, to fly our Jalur Gemilang high as well, trying to get that. And that's my main mission when I was overseas. I trained so hard, consistent throughout the time, even though during the pandemic, I still trained in Malaysia, because I always know that there will be an opportunity for you to shine when you are ready at all times.
Yeah, definitely,
that
man.
That is the spirit we need to have, because we will never know, all of a sudden, oh, next month, the organizer announced there will be a race in in New York. Then we have to be ready within a month time and go for the race.
Yeah.
So things like that.
Wai Ching, maybe you can just give us a rundown of, you know, where did you go? Where were the races that you've been to last year?
So last year, I've been to the first race that I compete was in this Cologne in Germany. So after Cologne, then I went to UK, to Newcastle for a half marathon. It's a Great North Run. It's the world's largest half marathon, whereby I got into the elite category and I was racing alongside with all the Olympians.
Wow.
Who won the medalist in Tokyo Marathon, Tokyo Olympics. And then after that, I went to another part of Germany, a south part of Germany called TTC Neustadt. So it's a race whereby I run up the mountain. It's a ski jump. In the winter, they have the ski jump competition, like skiing down, but we running up during the summertime. So that's what we call a Red Bull 400.
Mm.
And after that race, I went to Dubai to train myself, get ready to train at the staircase over there for this Empire State Building run-up in 26th of October in New York.
Mm.
So I trained in Dubai. But before I went to Dubai, went to New York, I had another road race in Dubai, which is a week before the Empire State Building run-up, which is a 10-kilometer run in Dubai Festival City. And when I was in Dubai, I received many support from Malaysians who are based in Dubai. They all very unite, and no matter what skin color, what are the races, they all were all in one together. They supported me. They gave me a lot of help because I was alone outside. Without anyone helping me out, I need to find a way. I need to, through communication, talk to them, and they allow me to stay at their place. So it's all very friendly. They really welcome me. I stayed in the Malay's house. Malay family house, I stay in an Indian family house, and I stay in a Chinese family house.
Wow.
All three major races, Malaysian, they actually hosted me.
Sorry, but how did these guys find you? Did you put out a call on social media and stuff like that?
Technically, before I went to Dubai, I knew I'm going to Dubai. So I went to this Facebook, I searched Malaysian in Dubai. So I found this Facebook group, and then it's like around 2,000-3,000 people inside, members. So I post, I make a post there telling that I'm coming to Dubai to train, to prepare myself for the Empire State Building.
Mm.
So for the race in New York.
Yeah.
And then they responded, they PM'd me. So I got to stay in my friend's place, got to follow them to the city center, take the metro to my training ground. So things like that. I secured a training ground whereby a Malaysian stay in the high-rise building. They allowed me to train at their building.
Wow.
And I talked to the security guard, the management. They say, okay, why not? Then I went and trained at this 93-floor residential building in Dubai.
Very DIY method, this one.
Yeah, this is really an adventure. Because
that's great.
Throughout the time, from time to time, I was actually secured a training place. I secured the place I stay. I have to find out how the transportation works in Dubai.
Mm.
Whether I'm taking metro, whether I take I walk to the training ground, things like that. I carpool with the Malay family. The husband itself worked in the financial center in Dubai. So I follow him from my friend's place and all the way to financial center, take the metro.
Right.
So it's like back, every day I spend almost 3 hours on the metro, on the transportation, on the mover. I move from my place, my friend's place, to the training ground and back to my friend's place. Took me 3 hours almost every day.
I mean, it's just great that you have friends there and you have, you know, people that are willing to help you out, right? Fellow Malaysians as well.
Yes, I'm really grateful with their support. And I won the race in New York in Empire State Building. It's not just for me myself, but for all the Malaysians in Dubai and also for my fellow supporters in Malaysia as well. I thank them for supporting me.
That's great, man. Let's talk about that Empire State Building race right now. Like you mentioned, you won the race. You became the first Asian to win the Empire State Building race. An 83-story building, right? 86-story building with about 1,005-ish steps.
Yeah.
And Wai-Ching, you did it in 10 minutes and 46 seconds. That is just crazy timing. Tell us about the experience, man. Must be awesome.
That race is one of a kind, like the birthplace of power running event. So Empire State Building run-up, they first started in 1978, and then they have been doing it since then, every year, almost every year.
Mm.
Except the 2 years back in 2020, whereby the pandemic hit the world.
Sure.
They canceled that year, but every year there is a race.
Was it your first time? Was it your first time?
Second time. Actually, 2021 was my second time. I took part in 2019. I got second place with a time of 11:13, running up 86 floor, 1,576 steps.
Yep.
So last year, I won the race 10 minutes 46 seconds.
That's right.
So it's almost a 30-second improvement compared to 2019.
Mm.
And to share with you another fact that most of the runners that took part last year compared to their previous edition, which is 2019 or 2018, there's only one guy and me, myself, improved our time compared to 2 years back.
That's awesome.
So one of my friend, American friend, Mark Yu, he actually improved by 1 second compared to his previous time.
Right.
I myself improved 28 seconds. Others slowing down. I don't know what happened. So it's not that easy whereby everyone is not racing for a long time. Then they come back.
Yeah.
But I would say running up the Empire State Building is really, really one of the most favorable, most exciting moments. Because Empire State Building is a world-famous building.
Yep.
So many, many visitors around the world actually visited Empire State Building when they got into New York.
Mm.
So and as you all know, King Kong climbed up the buildings from the outside. If you watch the Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, the Amazing Spider-Man, that Empire State Building is his place whereby he chill, he relax over there.
Yeah.
So Empire State Building is such a nice, amazing building for us as a tower runner, and it's also a birthplace for tower running sport.
Yeah.
So we always want to go there. It's a checklist for all the tower runners around the world to compete there.
To compete there, Wai-Ching, you actually won it.
Yeah.
You know, 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10:46. And one good thing is I got to meet Sebastian Stan over there. That is also another amazing moment. It's like being a fanboy, Marvel fanboy. We all grew up watching Marvel movies. And then being able to meet Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes there. I was like, oh, so exciting.
Icing like, on the
being
top.
Able to meet him himself and then get him to sign an autograph on my bib number. And he even put that Winter Soldier.
Wow.
So it's very, very, very exciting. And then I spoke to him. I said, next time, please bring Captain America, Robert Downey Jr. Come and race the Iron Man. I would like to see that. Especially Tom Holland. Get him to join. That would be fun.
What was he doing there? Did he go there to watch the race or what?
He initially he wanted to take part, I think. Oh. Then in the end, he didn't because he support his friend.
Right.
His gym. He wants to do fundraising for education US, in New York. So he really did, he contributed back to the community.
That's awesome.
I really admire him.
That's nice.
Yeah,
so
very awesome. Nice guy.
Talking about your time again, 10 minutes and 46 seconds. You were not satisfied with that, even though you had a 28-second improvement, right? You wanted below 10 minutes.
It's possible. The course record running up the Empire State Building, 86th floor, 1576 step, is actually 9 minutes 33 seconds.
Right.
That's the course record. Mm. That was in 2000, early 2000. So I'm actually quite far behind, not really satisfied, but I know why.
Mm.
I didn't have enough training to prior to the race. When even though I had a 1 month training in Dubai, but I realized I'm still trying to find the sweet spot of the volume that we all as a tower runner, what is the maximum number of floor we can climb a week. So prior to the Empire State Building run up, I climbed 2,000 to 2,500 floor per week. And I think I can even go further up to 4,000 or 5,000 floor a week. So then with more volume in my legs, then I can run much faster and hold a higher pace throughout the race and finish the race within that time. I believe I have the capability to reach 9:33 or even break the course record.
This year,
and
man.
That was my intention.
This year.
Because when I was in Dubai, I trained in this 93 floor building and ran up, this building is 1,778 steps, 200 steps extra than the Empire State Building. And I finished that 93 floor, 1,778 steps within 10 minutes. I did 9.57.
Right.
So based on my calculation, I assume I should be able to finish Empire State Building within 10 minutes at least. But I underestimate the staircase in Empire State Building because that step height is quite high compared to the one I trained in Dubai.
Yeah.
So it's about 20 centimeters, I would say, for each step. Normally, it's about 16 to 18. But Empire State Building, the step height is quite high, slightly high, higher than what I expected. So I underestimated that part. And another technical aspect is that when you're running up the staircase in Empire State Building, it's like you run one long flight and then you have to run a flat part. One long flight, one flat part. That is the middle part of it. So that flat part, I underestimated that part.
Right.
That really pulls some time off. So in the end, I can only do 10:46. And I knew I can go faster because I was slowing down towards the last stretch. The last 20 floor, I was slowing down. I 100% sure this year when I come back, I want to go below 10. That's my goal. I will do my best, train in Dubai and go again.
And as Malaysians, we are definitely backing you. But onto a point you just brought up, right? Preparation is something that you have to do, right? And, you know, like you said, you know, every building stairwell feels different, you know, in terms of the dimension and the steps.
Yes.
How,
yes.
Apart from going there to the physical location, how do you prepare for a race?
Usually, we have to know how the stair structure, like you mentioned,
right.
Every buildings are different from their stairs dimension and all that kind of stuff. So we need to know which direction the stairs running up, whether clockwise, anti-clockwise. And then second thing, we need to know how many number of steps are there for the staircase for the particular race that you're preparing for. And then you have to do a lot of testing. And the most important thing is how the race format like. The race in Empire State Building, they flag off the runner in the wave format. It's like 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. It's not like what we used to do, individual flag off. So when there's a group of people flagging off together, everyone trying to get into the stairs everyone trying to get into the stairs first. So that is a challenge. And that race tactic is different because everyone trying to get into the stairs first and everyone trying to lead from the beginning until the end. And that running mode, that tactic going to be all fast all-out effort all the way until the end.
The pressure,
it's
yeah.
not, it's very unusual than individual race mode. Because whereby if it's individual race mode, we have a 30-second gap between each of us. And then when we got into the steps, we got into our own rhythm and we maintain that rhythm and we know we can hold that rhythm for the entire thing and still push the final five floor, then we achieve the better time. If everyone flagging off together, the whole rhythm just got disturbed. So everyone have to train in a different method whereby we have to go all out from the front and try to hold as fast as possible until the end.
This really...
And the whole 10-minute, the whole 10-minute journey is like your heart rate is all on zone 5. It's really tough, it's really intense. Everybody was catching with you at the back. Everyone was trying to push you, asking you to go faster. If not, let go, let the other people go.
Right.
It's very high stress and excited for me. I would like to use excited that word because I love all this stress.
Yeah.
To me, it pumps me up so that I can go faster.
Mm, this really sounds like the World Cup of tower running, you know, the Empire State building race.
Yeah.
So did you make it into the stairwell as the first one or were you slightly behind?
Yes. So to be honest, I was in the stairs. I went into the stairs first.
Okay.
And then I was pushing out a very... sprinting in the stairs and went very fast from the beginning for the first 10th floor
okay.
to see which runner can follow me. So the Colombian athletes follow me and only one Colombian athlete follow me. His name is Frank. And then he was the former champion for Empire State Building run-up back in 2018.
Right.
Yeah, so he was one of the strong guy lah. The only guy can challenge me on that day because we all knew we went through, we raced with each other. We know, he is the only one. So then he was with me all the time for the first 10th floor, and then after the 10th floor, I slowed down my pace a little bit to test his response. So he still followed me all the time, and then eventually I knew I want to test whether he want to overtook me or not. Whether he has the intention or not to overtake me. So I slowed down a bit and still maintaining the same rhythm. And then he has the idea. He wants to overtake me at some point. I keep watching him because when you're walking up the stairs, you get to see behind you when you do the turn.
Mm.
So I knew at one point he's trying to pick up the pace. I respond to that action and I pick up the pace again.
Right.
Then he has to stay behind me because everyone was sprinting. So it's impossible for you to overtake the guy in front of you, if the guy in front of you sprinting up at that time. So then, okay, he slowed down and he followed me back. Then I know he's slowing down, then I myself slowing down as well. And then at some point, I try to trick him. I'm trying to still maintain the rhythm, but showing a sign of fatigue. Then he's trying to overtake me again. Then I responded again. So initially, I drained him off. All his energy being drained by my tech. I'm the host. I'm like leading him to a game. Fast, slow, I'm controlling the game. So I let him know that I'm in charge so that he has to follow me all the time. And then at one point, I was watching his face expression. Okay, he's turning, he's getting tired. I can see from his face expression, from his breathing, from his heart rate. He's like breathing very hard. So I know, okay, at this point, I'm going to make a move to see whether he responded or not. So I made a move. I sprinted 3 floors. He followed me for the first 2 floors. And then the 3rd floor, he just cannot follow. And then I was like, okay, this is the point. Push another 3 floors. Because I know I got all the reserve with me. I know how to play with that kind of mentality.
Hmm.
The psychology behind. So I pushed. And I knew he couldn't follow. And then I pushed another round to make sure he lose sight of me. Once he lose sight of me, then he will demotivate himself. He will slow down because he say, oh, watching is gone, out of my sight. He will not have the desire to follow.
Man.
Once I make him, once I sprinted away from him, and then I will just quickly go, make sure he don't see me every time when he turn.
Hmm.
Then I listen to the footstep. I focus on listening to his step. Then I keep on going, push another few floor, and then until I couldn't hear him. Then I know, okay, he's behind me already. Then I back to my usual pace, maintain the high pace.
Oh.
And then the last 20 floor, I was slowing down. So I know I wasn't prepared well prior to this event. I know I can only push up to 60.
Mm.
The last 20 floor, I wasn't ready. So indirectly, I knew I can go even faster. I can go faster, definitely.
First place doesn't satisfy you, huh?
Yeah, the time actually matters the most.
Yeah.
I like to compete myself with a universal unit, which is the time.
Gotcha.
Whereby none of us can change the time, whether change it fast or slow.
Gotcha.
Unless you do time travel. So it's a different game compared to other sports, whereby if you are racing against a rival, I mean, if the rival is not on his good shape, you beat him, or you are having you are in a good shape, you beat him. So it's very subjective basis. So running with the time and with yourself, comparing with your previous race, then as long as you keep improving, that is the thing I want to change.
That was So Wai Ching, world number 2 in tower running, as he tells us about his stellar 2021. More to come, so just stick around, only here on Bar None on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. This week on the show, we've been in conversation with So Wai Ching, who is the co-founder of the Malaysian Tower Running Association and also currently the second best tower runner in the world. Tower running, a sport which requires competitors to endure stress on the feet and legs while running and also to avoid tripping on the stairs. And apparently, the Taipei 101 Tower is the most feared skyscraper for competitive tower runners. Wai Ching joins us on the program this week and explains why.
Taipei 101 is our world championship event. So most of the time, they have been hosted world championship once. They're supposed to have a world championship actually in 2019, but sorry, 2020. But because of the pandemic, it kept postponing. Hopefully 2022 can make it happen. And Taipei 101 is the hardest staircase in the world, I would say, by all of us, because the step height of the Taipei 101 is like 22 centimeters per step.
Oh, wow.
Comparing to Empire State Building, Taipei 101 is way harder than that. Because we go two steps at one time, so that's gonna be 44 centimeters per step. And then Taipei 101, as a world championship race, we have to run twice, not just one.
Up and down? Or up and up?
We run up to 35 floor. That's a sprint event. Then we come back down by the lift, we rested 1 hour, then we run another time until 91 floor. So it tests your sprint, it tests your endurance, like a power, speed and endurance. So both elements added together, and that gives you the title of world champion in tower running.
Have you done Taipei 101?
That's a fun thing. Yes, I competed twice. Back in 2018 was the world championship. 2019, just one run up because it's not a world championship. So I did both 2 years in a row. 2020 they cancelled, so hopefully 2022 happening again. Let's see, should be in October, I think.
And how was
if
your
everything goes well?
How was your results the last two races for Taipei 101?
For the Taipei 101, I got number 10 back in 2018. 2018 wasn't my best performance yet because I'm still learning, I'm still gaining as much experience as possible by taking part in many races. And then 2019, I got 4th place. So then 2022, this year, if it's happening, I want to win the world champion.
First, let's do it.
Yeah, I want to win the first place. I want to... That record is also very challenging.
Yeah.
It's about... I think it's 9 minutes 50 seconds.
That's
around
crazy.
That time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, very, very tough. It's the same guy who hold the record in Empire State Building run-up.
Sometimes I walk up 5 flights of stairs and I'm really tired. This is walking, yeah, not sprinting. So this is just crazy to me. But something I want to talk about Wai Ching is something we've probably touched on the last time you were on the show, but the issue of funding, right? You're basically pouring all your money by yourself with, of course, the help of private sponsors and stuff like Turkish Airlines, right, being the recent one. Do you rely completely on private funding, or is the government helping you in a sense to build a scene in Malaysia?
For tower running sport, because it's not an Olympic sport, therefore it didn't get to receive any funding from the government. So to be honest, most of the costs to take part on this event are all from myself and from my sponsor. So I have to be proactive to talk to sponsor, to actually write to them, to actually introduce them about the sport, tell them how much potential this board can go up to and what are the commercial value that I can bring to the company, things like that. I have to come up with a proposal to actually propose to them, to write to them, to convince them to sponsor me, because I know I can bring even much more value to that amount of sponsorship.
Mm.
So Tenaga Nasional Berhad, they are my main sponsor since 2020. They sponsored me 60k in 2020. In 2021, they sponsored me 70k. So annually. And then this is going to be in 2022. That's going to be the third year they're going to sponsor me. So I'm still in discussion with them. I'm going to set an appointment by end of this month, within this month, because next month I'm going back to Dubai again and base myself in Dubai.
Mm.
So I need a much higher cost because I'm going to stay in Dubai. The cost of living is much higher than in Malaysia. So Turkish Airlines also my sponsor. I'm also in discussion with a few other big sponsors because they see the potential in me. Like from last year, I managed to bring them many, way high commercial value to them. I was on BBC, I was on NBC. So all these kind of international broadcasting channel, I was all over the place. Especially I won the Empire State Building Run-Up. I was all over the news around Europe, around US, around Asia as well. So I would like to share this experience with the national athlete who are, even though with government or without, with MSN or without MSN support, please find your value. Know yourself well. You know how much you can bring to your, all this commercial value. You have to keep track of your appearance on social media, on all your exposure on the newspaper, on the channel, everything. You have to keep track by yourself, and then only you have, once you have that data, you can use that to bargain or to actually propose to sponsor. So you can show them what are the values you can bring to the company. Like for example, I got invited by Great Eastern Malaysia to give a talk to their insurance agent. So I'm also, as an athlete myself, I'm also a motivational speaker. I share my experience with the insurance agent on how to achieve their goals, what sort of things they have to do to like find their purpose, to identify their value, and to help others, to always contribute back to the community. So I've been doing all this, whether I am able to do it or not able to do it, I'll try my best to commit. I got invited by my lecturer in UM, in Sports Center, in the Sports Science, to give the talk, to share my experience with the students in University of Malaya, to share with them how to apply what you have learned in your degree into your career. For me, as a professional athlete, I learned sports science. I apply everything, all of it into the sport.
Into sport, yeah.
I came up, everything you have to be, you have to be independent. In the end of the day, things will happen. Like, for example, a pandemic strike. Everywhere, budget cut. All this, we all have to accept it. We cannot run away. We cannot say, pandemic's happening, and then we try to still do our things. No, it affects the whole thing. We have to be flexible enough. We have to make decisions fast, and we have to identify the pros and cons, and then make adjustments. We have to be adaptable. I would say the adaptability is very important.
For sure.
In all of us. We need to have that.
Yeah. The pandemic really exemplifies the fact that, you have to pivot, you have to adapt, you have to learn to be flexible in every given situation, right?
Yeah.
And something you mentioned just now, and going back to Dubai, you said you're going to be based there in Dubai.
Yeah.
And this is not the only time throughout the interview you have mentioned Dubai a couple of times as well. Why Dubai? Is it only because of the tall buildings, or is there another reason for it?
To be honest, I tried to base myself in China back in last year, July, because China, they're well-established for the sport, for the tall running event. They have like 80 to 100 tall running race in a year. So if I base myself in China, I can just depend on the race. I can race there. I believe that the market in China is way bigger than any other places in the world.
Right.
I can easily get a sponsorship if I got into China, based there, represent a company and compete all around China. Just China itself is good enough. But then because of the zero COVID policy by the China government, so I couldn't get in, and therefore I looked to the other side. So I traveled to Europe, and I've been to Dubai. and Dubai, they have this Expo 2020, so they're not going to have this mandatory quarantine, and they welcome the visitor, the tourist, to come to Dubai to actually take part in the Expo and all these international exhibitions.
Mm.
And I've been to Dubai twice, last year, right before the pandemic. I actually love Dubai, not just the skyscrapers, but their location is very strategic. They were in the Middle East, so easy for them, for us, if we base there, easy for us to travel to Europe, to US, even back to Asia for competition.
Mm.
So, and plus, I've got access to a tall building, a residential building, 93 floor. No way I can get that in Malaysia unless I train in Petronas Twin Tower or maybe KL Tower. But that is not possible because their building has to use it for tourists, for office. So it's high security. So no way I can get that. Therefore, I decided to base myself in Dubai. I got access to high building. I can travel easy everywhere around the world for competition. And I love Dubai. Why? Because it's international friendly. 92%, I would say, the population in Dubai is actually expats. Yeah, 92% are expats, 8% are local. So they are very international friendly. Plus, I love all these exhibitions, all these big events, big expo are happening in Dubai.
Right.
So I got to build the network, broaden my network around the... I mean, I got to meet many people from every industry.
Awesome, man.
Which is very good for me.
Mm.
And the good thing about Dubai is also they have many events, like running events. I took part in the Spartan World Championship last year in December.
Mm.
It's happening in Abu Dhabi. So I took part in the Spartan Trail and I won the race. So many, many experience I can gain in Dubai as an athlete.
Mm.
Because I believe in Malaysia, it will be a challenge for you to shine bright, because not many races are happening at this time. So you should prioritize your career, because you know, as an athlete, our lifespan is not that long.
Mm.
Trying to shine as bright as possible when you are at your peak. I still haven't got to my peak yet, so I'm still trying. I'm still pushing my performance every year, going up and up and up, trying to beat the course record and all that. So Dubai is one of the best places for me to actually base there. And I love the community there. Many awesome. Malaysians are so beautiful, helpful, kind. They really, welcome me there. So I want to also apply a golden visa over there in Dubai. So it allowed me to stay there for a long period of time. Because Dubai, they really appreciate the talent. So that's what I'm trying to be, one of the talent over there. I'm getting a support there soon, and it will be easy for me to actually train there. And I actually have the intention to build a trail running association in Dubai as well. Because Dubai is a UAE Trail Running Association. I plan to build one, and then imagine in Dubai, so many tall buildings, and they want to be the next international sports hub. So if I'm able to build the association there, I believe easily I can get more than one race per month in Dubai. Because so many tall buildings, and one way to promote the building is to have a race there. So it's pretty straightforward. Once I got my golden visa done, and then I'm going to bring in the sport. I'm going to find a way to penetrate the market, to build the sport over there.
It's almost like a win-win situation, right? Both for, you know, UAE and yourself as well.
Yes, that's right. I want to bring the sport into the world stage. It's not easy to grow the sport in Malaysia, because I tried very hard, based myself in Malaysia. I got the opportunity to go to Shanghai back in 2018. But because I want to form the association in Malaysia, therefore I decided to base myself in Malaysia. To form Malaysia Trail Running Association. I have the dream to put the sport into Olympic.
Yeah.
Hopefully 2032 in Brisbane. Hopefully.
Yeah, let's talk about that now. You know, you basically made trail running popular in Malaysia, the region. And you know, you've met your fellow trail runners from all around the world, right? What's the consensus among them? You know, you were talking about the Olympics, but you know, maybe just scale it down a bit. Maybe the Asian Games, maybe the SEA Games to start with, right?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this?
So we have a great news. Yesterday, Tan Sri Noza Zakaria, he announced that Malaysia trying to get the 2027 SEA Games.
That's right. Yep.
So I read the news, and then tomorrow me and Mr. Ravinder Singh, my president, I'm going to KBS to have a talk about it. We want to convince KBS that if Malaysia get a chance to host SEA Games or Asian Games or Commonwealth Games in the future, just put in a trail running sport. We can guarantee a gold medal there. That's my word. I will do whatever it takes. I'll come back and win the gold medal. That's my promise. I will skip all the races overseas, come back and get the gold medal. That's the dream.
That's
so
awesome.
We have a chance. If we got the opportunity to host the SEA Games 2027, yeah, definitely. Just put the tower running spot in, because as a host country, you have the right to put in the spot in.
Yes, correct.
You have the ability to put the spot in.
Yep.
So one way we can promote Merdeka 118. One way we can promote Exchange 106. You see, all this kind of amazing building we have. Let's do it. Let's use, we can promote that building to the international stage.
Mm.
And it is going to win by a Malaysian, the race. So that is the thing. I want to build, I want Malaysia to dominate the sport.
And you know, good luck for your meeting tomorrow. But when you said, you know, a Malaysian to win the race, you're not just referring to you, right? You're referring to the people you inspire in Malaysia. And, you know, if there's someone that's listening to this interview right now, really curious to what you've been doing, what kind of advice would you give them?
So I would say that being an athlete myself, I know it's hard, like especially during the recent news. We all know that due to the budget and also I would say most of the parents nowadays, they don't let their kids to start sport because they know it's very highly unlikely they will success there during current condition. But I would like to give an advice to all of them. Stay active in the sport. Make sure we are all healthy at all time, and then do what you love. If you have got into a sport whereby you love it so much, please go all in.
Mm.
Because you know you will be able to achieve it when you go all in into something. You
Definitely.
Have to leave your comfort zone. Like I was actually talking to myself before I left Malaysia last year. I was thinking, I shouldn't go to Europe to compete. I should just stay in Malaysia. Because many uncertainties. What if I travel and then I stuck there? What if I travel here and I stuck there because of the COVID condition, the pandemic situation? It kept changing very fast. So then in the end of the day, I spoke to my mentor and then we have a deep discussion and let's give it a try. Let's be adventure. And you see what I did the past 4 months. I won 10 races out of 13. I'm very satisfied with that. And I want to share this with all of you that please, leave your comfort zone, give it a try on the new things and be adventurous. Take the risk, try it out, believe on it, have faith and put in all the work. Find a way, it will happen. I mean, I know many, many things were happening, like all these problems, all these obstacles that we all face throughout the journey. Don't give up. Just keep going on. Talk to someone, talk to your friend, talk to me, talk to all of us. There will be a way to go over it. So just don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. I know this is a hard time for all of us, but we can make it. Malaysia are very strong. I always believe that Malaysians are mentally strong and we are capable of doing a lot of amazing things.
That's great. That's a great way to wrap this up. Just last question, Wai Ching. I know before, the last time you spoke, you had a goal of setting 2 Guinness World of Records, right? You already have one.
Yes.
What you going to do this year to get the other one?
To be honest, that record that I did 2 years back in Four Seasons Hotel is no longer mine. My friend in Japan took that record. So I have to break the record again. I mean, and his record. So I'm going to attempt double Guinness World Records. Supposed to attempt it last year, but I couldn't get a permission to actually got into the building to do the record.
But what's the record?
So
for people who don't know, what's the record?
Yeah, so both records, the first record is, they call it greatest vertical height stair climbing in 1 hour, which means in 1 hour, I have to keep climbing up the stairs, take the lift down and continue, repeat until 1 hour, until the time clocks 1 hour, and I have to climb a height of 1.435 kilometers.
Wow.
That's the first record. At the moment, the record 1.435 kilometers. The second record is you have to climb 1 mile height, which is 1.609 kilometer in 1 hour, 6 minutes, 58 seconds. So the second record is about the time whereby you have to climb 1 mile without 1 hour, 6 minutes, 58 seconds.
Mm.
And share with you all a good news. When I was in US, I took part in a race in Detroit, Michigan. So I took part in this event. It's a 27th floor building. So they have this category, a full run up and a power hour. That means in 1 hour, how many climbs you can climb. In 1 hour, I managed to climb 15 times. 15 times and 20 floor.
Sure.
It's a 27th floor.
Mm.
So based on that that particular time, I climbed 15 times 20 floor. Sorry, 14 times 20. Yeah, 15 times 20 floor. I clocked 1.538 kilometer.
Wow.
So I technically unofficially broke my friend's Guinness World Record with extra 103 meter, which is a huge margin.
Mm.
So I always thought I need a tall building and a fast lift. But it's actually not the... I mean, it can be happening in the short building as well.
Mm.
Especially when you're able to run fast for that 27th floor. It took me like 3 minutes-ish to finish 27th floor every time. Although I took 14 times the lift coming down, that wasted 14 minutes in the lift. I could only have 46 minutes climb time. So if I kept continuing doing that, I can break 2 records easily.
Hmm.
So I'm super confident that I can break the record. I just need a building. Now that's my word. So any building, whoever, whichever, whatever building in KL or in Dubai, if they want me to attempt the record, one way to promote the building, yeah, just text me, let me know. I want to go and see the staircase. I want to see the lift, how fast the lift and all that. I'm going to go and do a calculation. Then I can achieve the record anytime when I'm ready. That's my word.
That was So Wai Ching, world number 2 in tower running and also the co-founder of the Malaysian Tower Running Association. And with that, we've come to the end of the program. If you'd like to revisit that interview with Wai Ching, the podcast will be up soon at www.bfm.my/barnone. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And also, don't forget to download the BFM app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Darryl Ong, and this has been Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week and here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.